Hi, guys. Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. This is part two of episode 14, Surviving the Empty Nest. And in this episode, we're going to talk about the things that you can do to help you survive the empty nest. Take a listen. Thank you.
The idea of understanding that they're getting ready to explore life, and you have done well.
Mm-hmm.
You have done well as a mother to prepare them as mm-hmm. they launch off into life. And so you get to sit there and smile and say, "You go, I see you."
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you can still have the same excitement in your life.
What I really love about your message is that even though you are a married woman,
mm-hmm.
it's almost, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, it's almost as if you compartmentalize, you know, the woman and dealing with the woman, the mom,
mm-hmm.
and addressing that separately, or maybe to the partner, because not everybody is married, not everyone is partnered up or booed up or whatever we want to call it. And even if you have a partner, you still should be doing things for yourself, you know, to help you get through this, right? So that's what I really loved about your message, that it wasn't focused on, oh, because I'm a married person and I'm, you know, I'm going to get through this with my husband and we're going to do it together and it's easier for me. I don't see you doing that. I've seen that and that didn't resonate with me, you know, because I'm like, what about the other side of it? And not even the other side, what about you as a person, just you as a person?
So here's what I'm healthier and I'm a better partner.
Mm-hmm.
When I am whole.
Yes. Please repeat that for the people way in the back.
I am a better partner. I am a better friend. I am a better daughter.
Yeah.
I am a better worker. I'm better to myself when I am whole.
That is so important.
And so I work hard to make sure that you are an individual first. And I always say I'm a woman first because that is who I am. So I will always identify as being a woman first. And as a woman first, I have to be whole and healthy to be a partner to my husband.
High five.
Because what happens is
you become dependent.
So what happens is dependent on this spouse to fulfill really what you should have been working on in the first place, which was your wholeness.
Yes.
And because you can work on your wholeness, then it's not a problem where issues comes up of everything, you're tied to the hip. And again, what you do is you take the identity and you replace it. All you're doing is replacing it. You were a mother, now you're just a wife. You just put it in front.
Right.
But I am a woman. I'm a woman that is whole, that can be all of these other important, pivotal roles that I play. But it only starts with me being whole and addressing a lot of those issues, those insecurities, that false thinking that we kind of tell ourselves, and working through that. And then I get to be a better partner. I get to be a better friend. I can see life through clarity and through truth. And again, I have a daughter and I also have a son. Mm-hmm. So being able to understand, to explain to my daughter that as you grow, you have to be whole and you can work on who and what you are.
Yes.
And then you would then attract someone who is also doing the same.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I was about to say absolutely.
Yeah. So maybe that's why that kind of comes through in my messaging, because again, it is really working to achieve the highest version of who I can be first.
Absolutely.
And then understanding, well, I know what I can offer when anyone comes to the table as a friend, mm-hmm. as, you know, a lover, mm-hmm. as a wife, mm-hmm. as a business partner.
Yeah.
I'm whole enough that I can bring clarity to the
Absolutely.
Table. And I'm not bringing a broken piece of me, because I think it all comes out. Which is, again, it goes back to that empty nest.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what it does magnify a lot of times for us is those pieces of us that we probably needed to work on, myself included,
mm-hmm.
as I navigate my way. Because really, the kids were like kind of like the filter.
The filter, yes. Oh my gosh, you are so right. You are so
the filter.
Filter or
the filter. And I didn't have to address it. I didn't have to deal with that because, you know, really my focus was really on the kids and it was fine. And mm-hmm. so when you have, once that's removed, again, that's where marriages, I think, fail.
Mm-hmm.
When the children are gone, because the kids were the filter,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have really a whole relationship individually and right. then collectively as a couple. And they only identify themselves as a married couple through the kids.
That is.
And then when they're gone, you're like, which is why you see a high divorce rate.
Mm-hmm.
At, you know, at that point in time, especially for, you know, when you see people that have been married, you know, 20, 25 years,
yeah.
and you always wonder, why did they get a divorce?
Yeah.
Well, it kind of makes a little more sense as, you know, as I've begun to walk through it and understand, oh, well, you know, there were probably some, you know, cracks somewhere along the way that probably went, you know, unattended for a really, really long time.
Right.
So I'm really big. I will always advocate for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
That is who I am. I say that to my son all the time. I said, listen, if you're coming to talk to me about relationships, understand I'm a woman first.
Right.
I say, oh, baby, I love you. And
right.
but understand I'm coming from the truth of a woman, because that is who I am.
That's who you are. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's dive into
yes.
surviving the empty nest. What are some tips? What are some things that we can do to survive this It's a transition.
Yeah.
It's a transition.
Yeah. And we have multiple transitions within our life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one of those big ones I think most of us are just not prepared for.
Right.
Because we're so focused, again, in getting our child to launch, that once they've launched, we have this gap and this empty space that we just didn't take the time to plan and to focus. But all is not lost, especially when you have a child that is away, that mm-hmm. is doing well. It doesn't mean that they have to be in college. They're out of the house and
That's
they are
right.
doing well. And as long as you know that they're doing well, you can then focus on, well, what are some steps that I can take to, again, figure out what I need to do in this next phase of my life. So I came up with 5 tips for
Perfect.
Surviving the empty nest. This is really for the mothers that are fresh, like, you know, their first baby. And they're just really struggling and they're looking for some sort of guidance. So the first step that I say is take it all in. Give yourself time to absorb what has happened. Senior, you know, that senior year is a doozy. And it's a flurry of activities and actions that are happening. And then when it's all over, you have to take it all in and absorb the moment and the emotions. And it's a lot. You're happy, you're sad, you're you know, crying. You're like, they're doing so well. They did well. And take it all in and give yourself that moment. You have to give yourself and own that, you know, I'm sad, you know, I feel like my heart is broken,
mm-hmm.
that kids are gone. And you can say it out loud. You can give yourself that moment to live in that space, but don't
right.
say it. And then 2, once you realize that you don't need to wallow in the grief, you understand that who knew that there were three stages of the empty nest? Three. I didn't know. I didn't know what I was experiencing was grief. And you wouldn't think that grief would take on a form in the stage of your child going away to college. You think grief if a loved one passes.
Right.
But grief is the loss of something. That's what grief is. And so we're grieving the loss of what parenting is familiar and looks like for us today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where you realize that's what the grief is for. Don't wallow in it. And then understand that once you realize that there are the three stages,
that
you have grief, but guess what? You're going to feel some relief. Ultimately, the euphoria of joy that comes in. So understand, if you know that this is just part of my process, I'm going to go through that. And then we start creating a new routine. So this is where I personally...
A new routine. Okay.
And whatever that may be. So most of us, you know, it's exercise. It is, you know, deciding to start that side business. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, now start focusing to create a routine.
A routine.
Because the routine signifies and creates something new for you. And so... So what I wrote down is what I said. We've done it for 18 years with kids, and now we get to create one for ourselves. Create a new routine that allows you to find balance of work, home, and new discoveries about yourself, which leads you to what you want to do with your life. What does life look like?
What does it look like? Yeah.
Today. And what are my possibilities at this stage in life? They weren't the same as they were even 3 years ago. You know, you have a little, like you said, a little more flexibility with a couple of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You have more time. You get to experience doing more.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like for you?
Right.
Maybe that's doing yoga on a Thursday. maybe that's deciding I'm going to go to a movie on a Monday evening. You know, something that you haven't really done before because you just didn't have the opportunity nor the time to do it.
Do it, right. And don't be afraid to do it.
Yeah. And that's the mindset piece too, because I realized that, you know, Sunday was always a ritualistic for us to prepare for the week. And so Sunday was the day that you didn't go anywhere, you didn't make any plans because you had to get ready for it.
Yeah.
And so I find myself still saying, oh, I have to get ready for the week. Yeah. Well, getting ready for the week doesn't require the work that it once did. So, and I'm only getting ready for the week for one person.
Right.
So I do have the flexibility that if I want to go out on a Sunday, I don't have to spend my entire time getting ready for the week because that's no longer my reality today.
Right.
So, and then this is where the whole, what do I want to do? And just as the kids are excited about figuring out what they want to do, it really is the same for us of, do I want to go back to school? Do I want to start a business? Do I
want
to focus more on my mental health? Do I want to start mending relationships that probably I just didn't get a chance to really give 100%
because
I was parenting, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And then for my last step, which is which kind of leads me into, again, reconnecting with girlfriends. So as an African-American woman who has phenomenal friends, I just didn't have the time before because I was a full-on 100% parent. And you know, they love me enough to understand and say, well, you know, we're not going to ask Lachelle because we know she's not going to go because she's parenting. And so now I get the opportunity to reconnect and really redefine my friendships because
I want to ask about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens when and if, I think people experience this, they lose friendships.
Yeah.
You know, now you're ready to come back. And they're
Hey, I'm back, guys. I'm back on the scene. They're like, we took you off our group chat years ago. So,
right? So it's like,
do you no longer call you? Right. They no longer call you to ask you to go out because they, for years, you said no. And so now you're like, hey, guys, I'm back. And they're like,
that's a reality for some people. Seriously. So, like, what do you do? Are you now in a position where now you have to make friends as adults?
Yes.
Which sometimes is like, ugh.
So I wrote this amazing piece. Uh-huh. Gosh, maybe about a year ago, mm-hmm. about making friends as a 40-plus-year-old woman. And really being in a space in my life where really stepping outside of my comfort zone, mm-hmm. and really embracing people, which was really difficult for me. I was very, I didn't know how to be a friend, quite honestly. And so most of us keep our little circles pretty small, one or two, you know, one bestie, maybe two.
Right.
That's been through you throughout your journey of life. And then you have friends that come and go.
Right.
And so here you are, you're like, hi, how you doing? I'm a friend. You want a friend? I'm a friend. I got time. And so, yeah, I have made an intentional decision to be the person in the room that attracts people to talk to them. And because what I realized, part of the reason why being friends was hard for me was because I wasn't open. And so I wasn't attracting, you know, if you're in a room with a group of strangers, everyone is looking for a kind face.
Yes.
Everyone is looking for a commonality that they can find to create a conversation. And so what I realized is that I will be in the room closed off. And so, and so what would end up happening is, you know, people would pass me by. And I always wanted to say, I'm a good friend. I'm funny. I'm nice.
I'm nice. When you start talking to me, I'm nice, right? And it's like, nobody's going to approach you with the resting bitch face.
Which I was a queen of back in the day.
That was me.
So what I realized is, just as I am in the room looking to make a connection, mm-hmm. I realized that I had to be the one in the room to be open, you know, because we're all looking for the same thing. We're all searching and scanning the room, looking for something that's familiar that we can make a connection with, and then from there make an authentic connection, and from there maybe a friendship.
Yeah,
but you have to be open, and you have to understand that, you know, putting yourself in a position, as my daughter says, "Mama, put myself out there. I'm making friends." And just as we told our children to do it, for some reason, as adults,
we don't.
And so I have worked to be intentional in being that kind person in a world of strangers that people want to come up and say, hi, how are you? What's your name? My name is, you know, but I had to learn how to be that person to be the kindness in the room that people are searching for. And that was hard. Finding friends, hard to do, but not impossible, because I think we're all looking for the same thing.
Absolutely.
We're all just looking to make an authentic connection. And understanding that, you know, you can have friends for all types of reasons. I have a friend who loves art.
Mm-hmm.
We just go look at art.
Right.
I have a friend that we can talk about philosophy all day,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the culture.
Right.
We can just do that all day. And then I have my girl who, you know, again, just my ride or die.
Right.
Who I don't have to talk to for 5 years. But if I called her and said, I'm going to need about $500.
Right.
gotta have one of those friends when you say, girl, I need $500.
Right.
All right, no questions asked.
Right.
Absolutely. So I do think it forces you to kind of step out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But that's a good thing because mm-hmm. you're learning more about who you are today and that false thinking and the myths and the, again, it doesn't serve you of what worked for you before to today. And right. sometimes we still kind of get that a little mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
That will work for us in terms of our thinking, in terms of our strategy and our approach.
Mm-hmm.
That was great. That's what you needed then.
Right.
No longer serves you at this stage in life. And so that's why I say, you know, back to surviving, the last step is reconnecting with old friends and, you know, really creating a space to create new ones. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, people come into your life for all types of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may not be just because you know someone for 45 years or 30 years mm-hmm. doesn't mean that the connection is still there.
Right.
But you should be open and try your best to find connections that work for you today.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, again, making friends over the age of 40, it's a thing.
I think it's an art.
Yeah, it's practice.
It's an art to it. It's practice. And that may be another topic to talk about.
And so again, the secret, honestly, the mm-hmm. secret is knowing this. Everyone that comes into a room is looking for the same exact thing. I'm just looking for a kind face. That's all I'm doing. I'm scanning and I'm just looking for a kind face.
Yeah. You are so right about that.
And I think I had it wrong for so many years
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I was standoffish. And that was just really protecting myself,
mm-hmm.
trust, insecurity.
Yeah.
And I wanted to observe. But, you know, I want to be in the room, but I don't want you to look at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I totally
get it. Exactly. So, again, that's something else that I am really diving into. Because, again, these same scenarios that happened before you had the kids come right back. And you're like,
right back.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. I was like, no, you didn't, because you never addressed it.
Never addressed it. It then took the primary focus. And so you didn't have to worry about that. You didn't have to worry about making friends because you didn't have time.
And so now here we are.
Yeah. And really giving women the tools mm-hmm. on how you can do that and how you can create an entirely new network of friends
mm-hmm.
based on your life today. Mm-hmm. And it can be just as exciting and as fun. And the definition of friendship, what it means to you today. Because right. I'm pretty sure it changed when it was in your 20s.
Absolutely.
Today. And I think that that's part of the transition as you go from one stage of life to this next chapter of life. And really, again, I cannot stress it enough that this is such a wonderful opportunity
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful experience. It's all in what you choose to do.
To do with it. Absolutely. I think the biggest takeaway for me anyway on this is that the excitement that your kids are feeling and what they have, you should really have that for yourself. I never really even thought of it that way. But you're absolutely right. That you can define and create this new life, really. You know, what do you want it to look like? And mold it and go after it. And it doesn't have to be doom and gloom. Oh, life is over. My kids are gone. You know, life is over. It totally doesn't have to be that way. That's my biggest takeaway.
And it's healthy because I think as the kids are happy and living their life, they're looking back. They're still looking at you.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, I didn't do anything. I just fiddled around the house.
Yeah.
You know, how do you think that makes the kid feel? That's guilt. It really is guilt because they know you missed them. And they know you weren't the same since you left.
Right.
So they're smart enough to do, two and two and realize, oh, man. So then they feel guilty that they're excited about life and living life. And so they're always looking back at you. Well, are you okay?
Are you okay? Yeah. You're right. You're as so right.
You're thriving. Right. You're awesome together.
I don't have to worry. She's doing her thing and she's good.
And she's happy.
Them to be good, you know, and feel good.
Yeah. And still live this example of what adulting at this stage in life looks like. Because again, they will be at this stage in life.
Absolutely.
And so they'll have that to kind of reflect back on and say, man, mom was living her best life when she turned 50. She was never home.
Right.
She was happy. You know, gosh, I can remember mom, you know, we had to ask her if she could babysit the kids, you know, because she was never home. I can remember her saying, hey, we're going to go on a vacation together and we're going to wherever. Mm-hmm. I can remember mom, you know, being happy.
Right.
And it really was the shift of they're loving their life.
Right.
Why aren't I doing the same?
Right.
And not making them feel guilty because they're enjoying their life.
Yeah.
And thinking that, dang, their mom's not happy. Dang, happy.
And it's unfair. It's totally unfair to them. Yeah. Totally unfair to them.
Yeah. So I started, you know, that's again another huge piece of motivating you to kind of get out of that stage that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the last thing that we ever want for our kids is for them to make them feel guilty about our happiness.
Yeah.
And we're putting that on them.
Right.
And they're looking back and thinking, gosh, mom, what's she been saying all the time?
Right.
She has low energy.
Right. Right.
Depressed. You talk to mom.
And I don't want them to think that. I don't want them to feel that. So I think for me, I'm going to be a little bit more aware and mindful of how I move, what I'm doing. You know, I know for me lately, I've been saying yes to more things.
Yay.
That is my transition out of the, oh, what was me? Yes to more things. I went to a TEDx Boca Raton last Saturday. Right. Saturday just
fly. That is fire. Yes.
It's so fun. I have a seminar someone invited me to in Tampa, which I typically would have said no. I said yes. Right. Ta-Nehisi Coates is coming down here in Miami. And I said yes. I'm going, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'm starting to get out there, do my things, you know, and live.
That's absolutely like such a beautiful thing. And then you start realizing your weekends are filled up and you're like,
and not with their stuff, with my stuff, like with the things I want to do, with what I feel fulfilled in. And if I want to go, like I have a girlfriend in Houston, right outside of Houston, she's like, you need to come. And I'm like, my first thought was thinking of why I can't, right? And I'm like, there's no reason why I can't. You know, I could do a weekend. We can have our weekend like we used to have our weekends, and it's not a big deal. So it's, you know, starting to say yes to things, saying yes to myself.
Yeah.
That's what it really is for me.
One of the great decisions that I made after my daughter left was I went on a girls' trip. Mm. I went on a girls' trip. And it was the beginning for me to really, really get in the mindset of, it was fun.
Yeah.
Because You know, again, they have been asking me for years. This is something that they've always done. And I highly recommend, if any woman has the capacity, the ability, invited to do it, it really, really can set the tone for what your next is going to be. And why not do it? And I did it because it was almost for me to celebrate what I just did. I just did something amazing. I have been able to put my last baby in college.
Yeah.
That's a win.
That is a win.
Right?
Celebrate those things. Yeah, absolutely.
So let me celebrate that, as opposed to, you know, feeling missing them so much, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I worked so hard to get both of them in this place, and they're doing well. I deserve the win.
Right.
So I was like, well, I'm coming. I'm going with you all on the trip. And, you know, first, again, the first thing you say is, I can't. But then you start saying, well, I really can't.
Yeah.
And, you know, I played around with it, and I did it the first month that she left.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was still feeling angst.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't go.
Right.
She needs me if she calls me.
Exactly. What if she wants to come home this weekend? I'm not here. Right?
That exact thought. And so I kind of pushed through and said, well, Shell, you've done well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be proud and you should celebrate this. And right. Even though you're feeling, you know, kind of on the fence, you should go. And I'm so glad I went, because it then set me up for what fun can look like,
right,
because I hadn't had it without the kids for a very long time. My happiness came from the joy of my children.
Wow. Wow.
So when they're happy, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the very first time, that wasn't the connection. And so it was weird, but it set me up to then start working on, well, that was fun.
That's really something. That's a good takeaway as well. You know, find something to celebrate that chapter so that it can launch you to your next chapter.
Yes. Yes. Right. Because that was a huge win.
And I think that for me is probably what was missing. Even though I would go on trips, like last year me and my girlfriend went to Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
Year before that, I forgot where we went. I would go on little trips because I needed to kind of reconnect with me at certain points.
Yeah.
But it wasn't anything for this, you know, like for celebrating this. I think being intentional to say, I need to celebrate what I have just accomplished. We celebrate their high school graduation. We celebrate their college graduation or acceptance to college or moving into their new place or their engagements, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't celebrate the parts that we had in their achievements.
Yeah.
You know, which is our own achievement as a person.
Absolutely. Put on my daughter's cap when she graduated. I put that cap on, and I was looking in the mirror. And I was like,
"Look what I did! Look what I helped do!" Right? Yeah,
good job. That was a win. And I'll do the same when my son graduates. Let me get that cap. Let me put that on. give me a diploma. Let me get
it. Right? Oh my goodness! Amazing.
Have a piece in that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times we don't celebrate our wins, or because we don't think, we thought it was for them, but we did the sacrificing.
Mm.
We did the sacrificing.
Yeah.
And so you're worthy. And, you know, no one is saying, good job, mom. You did that thing. Look at your baby.
Right.
You have the pride of
the pride. Baby. Yeah.
But no one is really saying to you, good job.
Right.
You did it.
Right.
You did what you set out to do, and God blessed you. So great job. Why we're not celebrating it, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I'm here to change the narrative on that and to kind of show that you how you can do that and why it's important to do that.
Right.
Why it's important to understand, yeah, you're going to go through all of these emotions. But if you keep in mind mm-hmm. that this was what we prayed for, this is what we asked God for,
right.
how can we not be happy and how can we not celebrate that and then be again the example? Because again, everyone has a circle of life and our children will be at the age that we are right now
mm-hmm.
and they're gonna have to reference something, and more than likely it will be us. And so
what are we giving them, right?
Yeah, so when my kids think back, when dad, how old was mom and dad when
right.
They seem to, I remember they were doing X, Y, Z.
Right. You know,
I don't want them to remember that I was sad. I tell them I miss them all the time.
Right.
But you can also navigate life with, I'm still going to live my life and Absolutely. Know that you're doing well and be an example for that, for this stage in life, because they're going to reference this
Absolutely.
At some point, which then forces us to kind of jolt
yes.
out of that stage of grief.
Of grief. At least get out of it a little bit faster.
Yeah.
No one is saying to skip that. I mean, if that is your natural process, you're just going to have to go through it, but don't stay there. The message is try not to stay there. And if you need to seek professional help to help move you through it, it is totally okay to do it, and do not feel guilt, shame, embarrassment, none of that. Don't even label it.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do to get to where you need to get to.
My goal is to just shed light on this space.
Right.
Because when I was looking for any type of anything to help connect the dots of my emotions, mm-hmm. I couldn't really find much.
Right.
I couldn't find anything that really spoke to the depth of mm-hmm. what I was feeling in the words that
right.
were speaking it, that really could change my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, there's nothing out there. Well, then so be it. Then right. I would be the one, you know, I will lead the charge.
Right.
That means that somebody else can take our conversation and our truths, and they're sitting there listening, like,
right,
and it can help them,
right?
There just wasn't a space where this conversation could be had, especially in our community, in our mm-hmm. culture,
right?
I just couldn't find anything, but that's okay because mm-hmm. we are now getting ready to take away the miscommunication or the lack of communication
that,
you know, is just lacking and it's not there for us.
Right.
Because now we get to say, guess what? You know what's the thing? And you will be just fine. You go right on ahead and you go through those emotions
Absolutely.
As you're trying to navigate your way.
So, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank
you for allowing mm-hmm. us to have a space. And you seeing, you know, that there was a need for this.
Absolutely.
Because I was thinking, man, there's nothing. There's nothing out there.
Yeah.
And as I was sharing my truth and really coming up with tips and really information mm-hmm. to help someone else, that you saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for creating a platform to have this conversation, because I don't think if you did, it would have still been, you know, a piece here or a piece there.
Right. And that's the purpose for Bench Talk, which is an extension of JMCC, what I do, the Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting, because like I say all the time, I tell my clients, it's not just about your career. If you look at that wheel of life, right? If one area isn't good, 9 times out of 10, it's going to affect everything else, right?
Yes.
And a lot of times my coaching and my, you know, what we're talking about, we don't talk about resumes. We don't talk about, you know, your promotion. We talk about everything else because it's impacting what you're not doing or where you're feeling stuck. We work through and set goals to get through that, to get you to where you need to be, you know, and your confidence and your assertiveness and all of that. But this whole platform for Bench Talk came from me being a contractor, a consultant. In between contracts, they say you're on the bench, right? And so when I started this, this was initially a project management type thing, and it just morphed and I moved with it because my spirit was like, it's bigger than project management. This is not just that, because people were coming to me for other things. And I said, you know what? Bench Talk is the place to have those conversations, at least start those conversations that people don't want to have. And a lot of times I say what people are thinking, but they don't want to say it. You know, yes. I was going crazy with the whole leaving, you know, the kids leaving the house. I was balled up crying. I'm okay with saying that. Like, I cried tears. Like, this isn't happening. Oh my God, what is this? You know? So I really wanted to create a space and a platform where we can have many different conversations, you know, because we're not talking about it. And we're not talking about it truthfully.
Yeah.
Right? We live in this Instagram age where you just see the highlight reel of everybody's thing.
I only show you when I'm winning.
And that's it, you know? And I'm good. 100%. I was not feeling like I was winning in this area. Yeah. And there are other areas where I wasn't feeling like I was winning. And you typically know what those are because those are the conversations that we've had within Bench Talk. You know, a lot of these topics come from,
I call it the uncomfortable truth.
The uncomfortable truth, right? So creating that space, creating that platform, getting that out there and not feeling intimidated by it, embarrassed by it. You know, what are people going to say? This is my professional life and people are going to see it.
Yeah.
I am a whole person.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so funny. I was just watching. I binged watched A Different World this past weekend on Hulu or something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, there was an episode with Diane Carroll, rest her soul. I think it was the last episode where Whitley, the character, was pregnant, and her and Diane Carroll and Patti LaBelle's characters were going.
Oh, yeah, because they were the parents.
The parents who was gonna, you know, they didn't want the kids to move to Japan or whatever. And Diane Carroll kept saying, "I'm every mother. I'm every woman," and that kind of stuck with me, you know, because I'm like, we are, because we have all these things within us, and we're not expressing them. We're not talking about it. We hold it in, but I am every woman. Yeah. I deal with so many different issues and come out on the other side of them. You know, I'm very self-aware. And, you know, I always say I give myself 3 days. If it goes past 3 days, then it's a problem for me. Right.
Yeah,
I will give myself 3 days to mourn. And it kind of depends on the situation, but typically it's a 3-day situation for me.
Yeah.
And then I have to get up, because if not, I'm going to go into a depression and I don't want to be in that space.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I give myself the 3 days and go through it and get through it and come up, right?
That's
We're not talking about
great. Those. It's great, and it's really needed because I think that that's where you have those of us that lead the charge. And I think part of my gift is being able to share my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about the raw, unfiltered truths of everyday life. And I, you know, as I said in the beginning, I'm the, listen, I am the everyday woman. I'm just working hard to achieve the highest version of myself.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, that's really all that I'm trying to do. And we get to have the opportunity to be able to articulate it, to be able to create a space where people can relate. And I always say, it's the conversations that you want to be in the room, but you wish you were a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
Because you just like.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, not everyone wants to come open and share that that's me.
Right.
And so that's okay.
It's okay. You know,
you have created a platform where someone in the privacy of their own home, in their own space, secure, still striving to work on bettering who they are, can tap in and listen and be like this.
Yeah. I'm not alone.
That was me. Yeah. And it gives them what they need, where they don't feel like they're isolated, they're alone. It's all, am I crazy? Am I the only one feeling this? That you have created a space that someone can be like, I was too embarrassed to say that, but that was me.
And, you know, that was my goal with that, with this, and especially with this topic, with all the topics that, you know, we talk about, they're very near and dear to me in some way.
Aren't they good though? Like, aren't they like, I can do this all day. It's what I love.
Yes.
I love this.
Yeah.
I love it. I can
really want to, my, you know, it's just really about empowering women. Just empowering us, because for so long we take advantage of ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't give ourselves enough credit. We don't ask for help. You know, yes, you can be every woman, but you're not superwoman.
Yeah.
I think the strongest person is the one who's asking for help. The strongest person is the one putting their truth out there and being authentic about it and saying, look, this is me, raw and uncut. This is me.
Yeah.
So we can talk all night. This may be a two-part series. Oh my gosh.
I love this. This is how you feel you're passionate, because again, I will do this for free.
You're right. Right.
Because again, you know, I've been that woman struggling. I've been that woman searching for me and searching for me and all these other people, other spaces, you know, in books, on TV. And so when I finally realize that it starts with me, do the work.
Right.
And then create the space in the conversations. So I decided to be who I am because I wanted to answer the questions that no one gave me.
Yeah.
That is why I do what I do. Because no one gave me the answers. And I struggled. And I don't ever want that for my daughter or any woman that I'm walking and I see that she's just having a hard time.
Yeah.
When we have truth. And we have the tools. You don't have to live like this.
Right.
You know? So I just wanted to be the answers that nobody gave me.
You are awesome, LaShelle.
That would be you. Thank you, though. I appreciate it.
You are awesome. No, I really appreciate this conversation. I think there... Not I think. I know that this will resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of women out there are going to listen to this and say, you know what? I'm going through that, or I'm about to.
Yeah.
I'm approaching that stage. Yeah. What did it look like for you? it may not look like that for me, but what did it look like for you? Mm-hmm. But definitely with you giving the 5 tips, very much appreciated. So, Miss Lifestyle Strategist, how can people, before I even say that, this is one thing that I have to say. I have had other coaches and strategists on. I do not see you all as my competition at all. We partner. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I don't see you as my competition. I mean that
it's a collaboration.
It's a collaboration. There is room for all of us. And when we all come together and work together, it's bigger, it's better, it's stronger. The message, it gets to where it needs to be.
Isn't it good and yummy though when you're like, girl, me too. We need to talk about this.
We need to talk because you got something that my listeners would listen, you know, would need, and I have something that you're listening. So partnering with people, whether, regardless of what your career, your industry, or what have you, women partnering with women and collaborating with women, we are so much better together.
I don't know, how did that happen in the first place? You know, I'm still trying to figure out who broke up the band. Whoever said that worked?
I don't know.
So, but we're changing, but nevertheless, we're changing the narrative on that.
Right.
And understanding that, you know, what the work that we're doing is giving value to the world that's beyond us.
Absolutely.
It's beyond us.
Absolutely.
I think that's how you can tell those who are authentic, those who are passionate, and those who are true to the call and their life's work.
Yeah.
That's Absolutely. How you can tell the difference.
Absolutely. Because I know for me, there are days where I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't. But then I say, you know what? It's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about me because there's somebody that I can help.
Yeah.
Whether I get the immediate response, there's somebody somewhere at some point in time. Just like I stumbled across that post that you made, I was like, oh.
And that means so much because sometimes you, again, as I say, sometimes you, for me, I share my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as someone who's a creator, you always wonder,
is it getting?
Yeah, did anyone hear that?
Am I talking to an empty room? Like, is anyone?
Yeah, because yet? I don't play, you know, social media is not a play thing for me. When I'm posting, it's not a bot, it is
me. It's you, right?
Me just having an authentic moment with myself. Transparently in my truth.
Right.
So when I do a post, that's a moment.
Right.
Vulnerability.
Right.
My life and my experience. So it always means so much to me that anyone that could read it and it hits them in a way that it hit me as I was going through the moment, as I was writing it. And the words came to me to really be able to, hopefully, it pierced someone else's heart the way that it pierced mine. Mm-hmm. In a truth, in a solution, in a just a moment of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. So hopefully someone else can take what we're doing and see the vulnerability that we're showing.
Yeah.
And saying that, you know what, I feel the same way, but there, I can overcome this. And we've given them the tools to,
do it.
So listen, I am forever honored that you would have me as a guest to share my experience and my truth. Again, I'm just regular girl. Where's the girl from around the way?
No, but I thank you.
Sharing a story.
For coming on, Lachelle. I really thank you. So, like I it started saying, Lifestyle Strategist, how can people get in touch with you?
So I am on All social media at Lachelle T. Parker, LacheLlet Parker. Mm-hmm. And my website is Lachelle T. Parker. I am working on creating a online program for empty nesters. Mm-hmm. And I'm also starting to do work for those of us that are in midlife transition, because I think that there's a second piece to that that we're not talking about that has an impact in between there. And again, really allowing me to show greatness in other people, that, you know, I believe we all have three things: forgiveness, you know, redemption, and greatness.
Absolutely.
And it's making a decision on what we choose, regardless of just the decisions that we've made in our past, where we are today. Those are free. We don't cost a dime. You can start today. You can make the decision today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Lachelle, this was amazing. We made it through, and I know you guys heard my dog barking.
Did you hear mine too?
Did
you hear mine too?
I didn't hear it. Mine is really upset with me. She's not happy. Maybe one day I'll show her. But yeah, she was out there barking.
Didn't hear it.
I don't know if the mic picked it up, but we'll during the edits, we'll see. But this is going to be raw, uncut video.
Keep it in there.
I mean, it's real life. Come on. I mean, my house is not totally empty. The two oldest ones are gone, right?
Yeah.
So, we still have the dog. She likes to make
herself. Me too. I call it my oldest last baby.
I know. But thank you, Lachelle. I don't know why. Yes,
Thank you,
Lachelle. I will post your information in the notes for the in the description. Podcast on Bench Talk. So for those listening to the traditional podcast, thank you guys for listening. For those watching, thank you for watching us. More than likely, you will get more from watching than listening, because the listening version may be cut a little bit shorter than the raw uncut.
You're not going to get the full effect if you're just listening.
So we will be posting the link to watch. And of course, on benchtalk.net, you can hear this episode. So thank you guys. Thank you guys so, so much for listening and watching. Thank you for being a part of this, Lachelle.
Yay.
Yes. You see my little sign back here? That's my little motivation. You got this.
You can do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you guys. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Yay.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Bench Talk. Be sure to catch up on previous episodes at benchtalk.net. This is Jackie Mitchell, your career consultant. Be sure to follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Jackie Mitchell CC. And on Twitter, Jackie Mitch, that's Jackie, MITCH CC. Thank you guys.